Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast, premiering Wednesday, October 1st. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Look at us.
Look at us go, right? Absolutely. I'm excited.
I don't think I'm cool enough for this.
I think you are. I think you're, despite how much you're playing around with your camera right now, I think you're doing just fine. It's 99.1 PLR. I'm hanging out with Red Matter. We've got Milo. We've got Jeff. Hi, guys.
Hi. Hello.
We've done this like a fair amount over the last couple of years.
You've been
right?
Awesome.
I think this is, you've been awesome. Stop it.
Wait, what about me?
Huh? You're fine. but, you know, we've done this, what? I mean, I think this is my third or fourth interview with you guys. Yeah. And it started over the pandemic.
Good times. And,
was it pre-Red Matter, actually?
Yes, the first one was pre-Red Matter.
Yeah.
So let's start with that. So a little bit of background about who I'm talking to right now. Red Matter is a band from right here in Connecticut. Fantastic local artists, slowly going national. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but also an evolution of, I didn't want to say an offshoot, you know what I mean? An evolution of the band Terrapin, which if you're a deadhead, you recognize that name immediately. You know, Grateful Dead cover band that you guys did for a long time. Jeff, you and the other guys in the band, or some of them, there's been lineup changes. Again, something we'll address.
Yeah.
But Terrapin, very successful for a long time. It was actually the first time that I met you and a couple of the other guys. But then you got Miss Milo over here in 2019.
It was the February right before the pandemic hit.
Okay. Okay. So, right. So 20.
Yeah.
So early 20.
Yeah.
Early 20.
Early February?
And then it just kind of, you know, and then it's just kind of gone on from there. So
now they're stuck with me.
Now they're stuck with you. Exactly. So we've talked about.
Now it's like Milo and the Terrapin Band.
Well, now, you know what? That's kind of a thing. Talk to me about, you know, even before we get into lineup changes and into, you know, new music and stuff, which I know you guys have, and I've listened to a little bit of it so far before we started recording. Talk about the dynamic change, not just when you hired Milo, but also what it's turned into now.
Yeah, it actually it started before Milo, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, there was an original crew. It started in early 2013.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a great experiment. That's the way I like to think about it. It was, you know, there was a bunch of dead cover bands out there, but nobody had really taken what I like to call the middle ground, right? So there was the Dark Star Orchestras, who were the biggest of the big cover bands.
Yeah.
You know, next to Dead & Co. But at that time, Dead & Co.
Wasn't a thing.
Wasn't a thing.
Was not a thing. No. Yeah. John, Mayer wasn't even playing with them yet.
Correct. And so Dark Star occupied this spot. And then there was, you know, a lot of local bar bands, I'll just call them. That played Grateful Dead covers.
Yes.
And we kind of said, that's interesting, but there's a spot in the middle that nobody's occupying. Let's go figure that out. And that's what we did. You know, we sort of like said, every town has a performing arts center. Every town has a library. Every town has to fill content like everybody else. They're in the business of trying to, you know, to put performances on. It could be the Nutcracker one night and then Terrapin the next night. And we kind of just said, that's a spot we want to see if it works. And it did. And next thing you know, we were going between, you know, Maine and Virginia on a regular basis.
So now, you know what's funny is talking about Terrapin, talking about how you guys used to do the Grateful Dead cover band thing. I've noticed that there's a couple of different kinds, and I'm curious as to what kind you thought Terrapin was and if it was intentional. So we mentioned Dark Star, right? Now, Dark Star is that very traditional dead, and it's the slow dead. Let's be real. It's the slow dead. It's the, you know, early days kind of thing. It's what Dead & Company does, where there's just, it's a long ass show and it's very slow the whole time. Then there's like Shakedown, which is on cocaine largely from the experiences, or maybe that was just me in my 20s. I don't know. But like that was, you know, that was kind of, it was like the fast dead. It was the party dead. It was the late night dead. Where did you guys fall? And was that an intentional decision, or did you kind of just end up there?
That's an interesting one. I've never heard anybody describe the scene that way.
And just purely, and I'm purely using Connecticut Grateful Dead cover bands, which is, this is such a niche conversation. I don't know who the hell's listening to this. But keep going.
I would have done it quite the opposite way. I would have said, there are those who are and this is not a negative connotation, but there are those who are imitators.
Yeah.
And then there are those who I think take the music and interpret it.
Sure.
Redefine it for themselves.
We were interpreters, right? Okay. For us, the founders of the band, myself and some others, Paul Dene and others, we embrace. I saw 160 something shows, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a musician, so it was always, I always listened to the music as a way to sort of, you know, encapsulate it in my own brain. And then when we started to play it, I was like, well, I don't want to just play, you know, the June 14th, 1976 version of this song. That is totally uninteresting to me as a musician.
Yeah.
I want to do what I do and play it, you know, the way I think I would like to hear it. And so that's how we built the band, to be honest with you. And then I think there's others, you know, who are absolutely dedicated to the craft of what the Dead was at a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Dark Star is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like that thing, go. You should. They're phenomenal at it. Right?
By the way, it sounded like I was disparaging them. Nobody does it better than them.
Nobody.
And their success illustrates that. I'm just not that kind of Dead fan.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Now the slow versus fast thing, that's interesting because there clearly were time periods where that was the truth.
Right.
Right. And that was just rhythmic interpretation. It was like, what do we want to do with our own music? And God bless them, they can do anything they want.
Yeah.
And so I give Weir all the credit in the world. I mean, I'm not a huge Dead and Co. fan, but because of the speed thing, for me, I hear those tunes in my head. I don't hear Shakedown Street as a ballad. That's just not my thing.
No,
right? It was a disco song.
Right.
Right. And so, but that's okay. They have every right to do it. It's their music. They can do anything they want. And I think that's, you know, when we did this, we just said, let's do what we do best. And every night was slightly different, but I would say we're probably more in the middle.
Gotcha.
And what was interesting for me when I joined the band, when it was still Terrapin, is, you know, my hands are up. I did not grow up listening to the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
And when I joined the band, I was actively learning the songs at the time. So, like, my first rehearsal, they sent me a list of songs that I'd never heard before. And I was like, let's do this. And what was very interesting for me is, like Jeff said, is they saw the Dead live. They followed the Dead. They were in it when they were at the most present. But for me, in this day and age, and listening to the music to learn it, to perform it, it had a kind of a totally different definition for me. I understood their music in a totally different way because it was new and I was going to be playing it out.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting for the whole band to have multiple different perspectives on the music that we were going to be playing all at the same time.
Well, and it layered in some, her naivety in that sense,
mm-hmm,
is what created Red Matter, because at that time she came in with a perspective that had zero color on it, right? So she comes in, does her thing, it layers into what we were doing, and it was like, oh my God, not only can she sing, but she can actually be a artist that contributes to this band in ways that we never thought about.
Right. So actually, I wanted to ask you about that. Talk to me about the idea and thought process behind bringing in somebody like Milo. And I want to ask, what's the name of the woman who sang with the Dead, but now everybody just makes fun of her online?
Oh, Donna Gotcha.
Donna Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, now, are you Donna? Are you Donna?
Yes, right. That was my question. Was the idea to just get yourself a Donna,
no,
or was the idea to get a front woman?
No, actually, we had another woman who was singing with us for a number of years, a wonderful singer by the name of Ams Palmieri, who's also, she's been playing in the local scene for years. She's got a beautiful voice.
Sure.
And love Ams. She and I had probably sung for about 2 years under the Terrapin label. And, you know, I fell in love with this kind of harmonizing vocal thing to the point where, using the word interpret again, we started to bring in two-part and three-part, in some cases four-part harmonies into the song. When we started Terrapin, and certainly with Red Matter, the one thing that I insisted upon was that vocals were going to be front and center in this band.
And solid.
Yeah.
Because, no offense, but most Grateful Dead cover bands, they can do the Jerry part, they can do the Bob part, they forget about the vocals. And it's not that they're not trying. I don't know if they're good or bad or indifferent, but vocals are what the most fans go out and they want to sing,
yeah,
and they want to dance and they want to remember. And if you sound like a dying quail, while you're playing this great guitar solo,
yes,
it doesn't really matter.
Unless you're the Disco Biscuits, right? No, well, exactly. No, it's a sin of the jam band scene. Yeah. And I think it's why I even cringe using the word jam band at this point, because it has become such a dirty word in that way. So, all right. So, well, so then that makes sense. Now, would you guys, you've got Milo now, and you've gone through the transformation of going from Terrapin to Red Matter. Mm-hmm. And we've covered some of the next few years of what happened with the band in previous interviews. So I don't want to mm-hmm. stay too heavily on that. Mm-hmm. But where you guys are now, would you or have you ever considered Red Matter, just the band, not Terrapin before, like a jam band, or how would you classify it now?
Go ahead, Mom.
I think so. Well, I was going to say go ahead to you, but when we first decided to take the move to go all original and be Red Matter, we defined ourselves in a way that's totally different than I think what we define ourselves as now.
That's great. Great point.
Yeah. Yep. Like we just released a single, Rain, and our single before that, Sunrise on the Freeway, it's straightforward rock. Yeah. There's a lot. We initially thought we would still kind of be in the jam band umbrella, but more of like sophisticated jams, more not the jams itself, but just more boundaries around them, not going super far out to space. Because again, like our vocals are incredibly important to us, lyrics super important. But we've really just.
I'm gonna put the song underneath us just as a little bit of song? Just as a little atmosphere. It's fun.
I love it.
But
but my ADHD. I don't even remember what I was saying.
I'm so sorry. That was not my intention. No. You were talking about about the new direction of the band, which this song, Rain. Let me pull it up for just a sec.
Probably better to pull up her vocals.
Which in a lot of ways is indicative of kind of the direction that you guys are going in. So I'm sorry, continue.
No, fine. I think just previously we defined ourselves more as kind of adjunct to the jam band label. And now I think we're fully straying away from it in a way. And I'll let you take that over.
No, I think that's exactly right. I think it was obvious. We were a jam band. I mean, we were a Grateful Dead cover band, right? But we had a huge part of our catalog, even under Terrapin, was non-Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
But it was jammy oriented, right? And so
jam adjacent.
Jam adjacent.
Exactly. Let's be exact here. So it was an easy transition. And then Goose hits, right? And so
that was a game changer in Connecticut.
Huge.
And it's worth pointing out.
100%. And God bless them. You know, we wish them not only continued success, but even more.
Your wish has been granted, but
good, yeah. So now Eggy and the rest of it, the whole scene has become, a correlation to some degree to what happened, I think, in early 90s out in Seattle, right? That grunge scene.
I have made that point so many times.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
Somebody else said it.
You are now officially best friends.
Yeah. Somebody else said it, and everybody in this office makes fun of me for it, and now I'm going to post this clip of you saying that to all of these. It's 100% like that.
It's
100% like that.
But it's getting there.
No, but it, you know what? And I think that it could be.
100%.
I think that it could be, and I think it's that same kind of thing. I would say that New England in general is certainly a thing, because you could throw that to Twiddle even 10 years before, real rise of
Goose.
Go
back to Fish up
and everything
in Vermont,
like that.
Right?
I mean, well, no, naturally, but now we're just... Now, where do we draw the line?
Totally.
Like, it's, no, okay.
So then I guess my final point is that, but then we started writing.
Yeah.
Right? And then it was about, what do we have to say here, right? And what is the music that we want to develop, and where does that fit? And it's not about trying to find a niche and say, oh, well, this is unexploited, let's go do that.
Yeah.
It's more about, what is it? Like, once the album got done last year, and now we've written tunes, which I think are actually much more mature than the original album, you start to say, all right, now the tunes sound a little bit more like this. And for us, it's definitely got a rock, more traditional, I hate to use the word pop, but what used to be pop.
Yes. No, of course.
So rock feel. So I kind of tell people, we're like a little bit of the Dead, but we got Tom Petty, we got Dave Matthews.
Tedeschi.
You know, we got Tedeschi in there. And it's just this kind of vocal driven rock influence that has some room to explore.
And which has been so exciting, right? Terrapin was very, very successful, very well known. To take the leap to go all original is scary. There were plenty of bumps in the road, Plenty of bumps, especially just deciding to name the band. We went through like literally 500 options. Yes, it was daunting. It was scary. It was risky. But there is so much freedom that comes with going all original, because we get to sit down and say, well, who do we want to be?
Right.
What do we want to sound like? And just the band itself, the personnel in the band come from totally different backgrounds. And totally different backgrounds musically, too. So when we all, there are just so many different perspectives and histories that go into defining who we are now. And I think it's very, very cool. Because in a way, these songs that,
No, please.
Like, as we continue to write our new original songs, play them out, there's bits and pieces of every single one of us in each song. Because even how we write is super collaborative. Jeff may come up with lyrics and JP may come up with, you know, a lick for it, or vice versa. Or I might come up with a stanza and then Jeff will write the lyrics. And then, you know, it's just so collaborative that it's each song has a definition of who we are individually in each one.
Well, and it's funny to hear you guys talk about, you know, maturing and changing. And really in just that short amount of time, it's been 3 years since the change to Red Matter. You know what I mean? From Terrapin. Mm-hmm. So like, and I've, And of course, I pulled up right here, which is the title track off of your last album, you know, Northbound Train.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Exactly. It is a great song. It's also, though, 9 minutes long. And
no, this one's only five. There's some 9-minute ones on that one.
I am staring at a computer with this MP3 up right now, and it is 9 minutes long. Maybe this is your live version. But my point is like, you know,
you guys are going long.
You know, you can hear like a lot of that square pattern chord progression, you know, dead stuff that's in there. Like, it's a step towards where you guys are going now. But now I'm listening to, you know, Freeway, which Milo and I were just
listening
to.
Sunrise on the Freeway is one of my new favorite songs.
Well, no, exactly. And I didn't mean to make the time a sticking point.
I just meant
the way that, like, you know, the way that there's a lot of dead DNA in that.
But here's what's important about that, because you just brought up a really cool point.
Sure.
The songs, intentionally to some degree, have been designed to live in either world.
Yeah.
So, look, you're a small band, you're a local band, you're trying to get from a local to a regional, from a regional to a national, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the stepping stones. You got to be able to play showcases where you have 45 minutes and you got to do 8 songs,
yes,
right? In our world, that would have been 3 songs. That doesn't go so well, right?
Or just one Terrapin station.
Right. Exactly. Right.
So
just one Terrapin station, oh Lord. Yeah.
So we can do that. And we can also do the 2 sets. We got to play all night. Like we did a couple weeks ago at the brewery, and we've got to fill time, right? And so we can have a little bit more freedom and have a little bit more exploratory stuff going on, which is our DNA. And so that also works. And it's the same song. So
so
giving yourself that ability is kind of cool. And not every song's written like that. Some of them are just pop songs. They, you know,
like Cool My Bones.
Yeah, Cool My Bones is a 3.5-minute song, and it just is what it is. But so that's kind of cool.
Let me get Freeway in here for a quick second, because I'll tell you what I hear right now. Oh yeah, especially with that baritone sax, I hear Springsteen, and I love it. I love it, because I really can't, like, I mean, come on. Yeah, like,
Horns is a really it's an undervalued and underappreciated instrumentation.
I love horns.
And in a lot of ways, underutilized, too. You know what I mean?
100%. I almost insist on it. I had to fight our engineer. He loves horns.
Yeah.
But our consultant, Michael Kaplan, he's like, I don't want to put horns in everything. I'm like, horns.
Put them all.
Horns.
Exactly. Put them all in there.
I love them. And it just, this song makes me just want to rent like apple red Mustang convertible, black leather interior with the cream wheels, and just be on a highway blasting the song.
Sing it, girl!
Sing it!
Oh my God. No, see, now that's the move. Now, you know what? We talked a minute about, you know, how kind of Goose was, totally a big cultural shift. I mean, not a shift, but a validation of what the Connecticut music scene has been for
a
long time.
And Eggy just playing the Red Rocks?
And Eggy playing the Red Rocks, and Le Special playing the Red Rocks a little while ago. And actually, Le Special really leans more into the point that I was trying to, that I'm making here, is that what I notice is that when I was coming up, 2010s and playing out a lot in my 20s, and like, you know, everything was a jam band and everything was kind of trying to do very much this disco biscuit thing. And then all of a sudden, a Connecticut jam band makes it in a big way, and it's Goose. And what's the X factor there? And I talked to Eggy about this in an interview that I did with them a while ago. To me, the X factor was songwriting. To me, the difference is that Rick was writing songs, and that he had the option, Jeff, like you were talking about just a minute ago, of making that song 15 minutes or making that song 4.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And when you base it in songwriting, I think that that's when you really start to come across something special, something that actually will work and will actually have like broad appeal. And Eggy, like I was, sorry, Milo, you're fine. Talking to like Donnie and Jake about it, like they were, I'm like name dropping all these people. If you don't know who they are, go listen to Eggy because they're awesome.
Absolutely.
Talking about them, about how when I first got their CD, when they were like these like teenage kids handing CDs out at like Bryak, or actually after the Capitol Theater, I went to a Deep Banana show. They sounded like kind of that thing that you were seeing on festivals a lot in the early 2010s. Mm-hmm. And then they went through this renaissance where it really, I was like, oh, damn, this is songs with hooks and things that are happening now. And that's, I don't know. I guess the point I'm really trying to make is like, are we reaching the end of a cycle of jam bands being sort of the norm in Connecticut?
I love your, I think your statement's dead on. So you said songwriting, right?
Yes.
I think it's melody. Honestly.
You know what? Yeah. Okay.
Because
expand. I can get behind that.
Because
yep.
This is me. All right. But I'm writing a song that's actually titled this right now. It's called The Endless Jam to Nowhere. Right. So there's a
not on the nose at all.
Oh no, my goodness.
And it's a pun. I'm not trying, you know, I'm not.
Yeah, of course.
But the end of the day, that was what I think defined this genre for a while.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden someone comes along and writes a song. And it goes back to what I said earlier. People want to sing. They want to hear something that it repeats in their brain. A chorus is not a bad thing.
No.
Right. And so, and words that are nonsensical don't necessarily have a place anymore. It's like, talk about things that are real in life. People are struggling. People are going through different things in their life, good, bad, and indifferent.
Yeah.
That's what they want to hear about. They want to repeat that. They want to go home and sing it at night.
Right, like that chorus was awesome.
Totally.
I can hear it again in 2 minutes. You don't have to put 100%. It 10 minutes away, man.
Yep.
Like at the end of the song.
When exactly.
Because like, I think
I want to hear it again.
There's so many layers to that, right? So, you know, from our perspective, I'll never forget when we were playing Ram's Head, and it was one of the first few times we played out Not a Soul Around. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the song, people were singing along with us.
Yes.
So what that does for us is that's that connection to us that for me is the most important part of being a musician and playing out on stage. It's connection. But what that does for the audience as well is they are connecting with each other on our behalf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to be able to go out and sing it out with your friends of these songs, and it's just a higher level of connection and I think beauty that's in the music scene. And I think the most opportunities to have that, I mean, songs that are full instrumental jam, there's absolutely a place for that. But
oh God, yeah.
100%. But having songs with lyrics that people can connect to and pick whatever definition for themselves. I mean, Rain has so many different definitions for me. Our new song that we just released, it has one for Jeff, one for me. And I think just giving the audience and the listeners an opportunity to sing it along with us, to find their own meaning and just share it in however, whatever capacity they do, whether it's singing along at a show or reaching out to a friend and sharing their thoughts, whatever it is, I think it's just so beautiful and so important.
Yeah.
It's the hook.
Yeah, it's the hook,
baby.
It's the
not
hook.
Not the bad kind of hook to get off stage.
And it's right. right. Not the Apollo hook. No, it's playing and writing with intention, which is, I think, you know, when you were talking about, you know, you can have an instrumental song and it's great. And we think about, take Jessica by the Allman Brothers, right?
Mm.
That's not a noodle fest. That's a song with movements and different shapes, and it goes places.
But
and
it's got that basic melody.
It's got that basic melody. And it's got
That's the melody.
Every single person can sing that immediately.
They did. I think they sung guitar solos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Well, that's what I do when he can't make a rehearsal.
There's this great video of it's AC/DC actually of all bands. Like, you know, I'd be pleased, like the kings of basic rock songwriting. No jams. You just play the solo as it is and then move on to the next one. 3 minutes. If you hear it's them playing in front of like 100,000 people and they do Shook Me All Night Long, and as soon as the guitar riff, the riff itself comes in, it's 100,000 people singing that.
Singing
all
jump
and singing da 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 da. It's awesome.
You know what?
And it's funny, but dude, it's powerful. Yeah. Like the first time I saw that, I wanted to, like, I almost got me choked up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. When you have intention,
mm-hmm.
when you actively practice intention and mindfulness with what you're doing, with anything creative, really anything in life, amazing, beautiful things happen. Because I feel like when you have true intention, that in parallel, or not perpendicular, maybe it's just authenticity comes with pure intention.
Yeah.
And I think when you are truly authentic, this is what I've worked on in therapy forever, living my life truly authentically, because that's what people want to see and feel.
Yep.
And that's what they can see and feel. You know, we played a show the morning I found out a friend of mine passed away, who is very big and well known in this community. His name is Matt Perry, one of the most beautiful souls in the world.
Yes.
And that night I had to, you know, put on my big girl pants and do a show, and we performed our new song Rain.
Yeah.
And I cried while we performed it. I just had to. There was no holding back. And the amount of people that appreciated that, the authenticity, the genuinity, all of it, being authentic and intentional comes across in so many different channels when writing music, performing music, and that's what people feel. That's what they connect to. So when you're intentional, when you're not just throwing some loopy-doopy lyrics together because you want to jam, beautiful things happen.
Well, life is raw, and it's difficult, and it's tough, and you know, and I know, Matt, we all hung out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Yeah, at your house. That's
at
right.
At my house.
And that's not without derailing this and having it go in a direction it doesn't need to. That's not the only person that you and I in particular have lost in just the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of you know, sorry.
It's okay.
The community reflects that.
Yeah.
You know, when you go out and you're especially playing, you know, shows around here, you know, some of the people that we have lost this year, very beloved figures. And when you go up and you act like everything is okay, it's that social media thing. It's that thing that they always say, you know, like people are up here painting a certain picture of life. When the life you're living doesn't reflect that, there's that art will only hold your attention for so long if your life is not reflected in it. And the feelings that you're having, you know, not only as you're writing it, but like you said, as you're performing it, are reflected in it. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that kind of struck me just now as I was listening to some of this stuff, because you know, it's funny. I know we brought it all the way down, so Rain feels like the more appropriate song to have underneath here right now. But
yes.
But let me switch it up to Freeway, because when you, Milo, joined this band, you and I didn't know each other very well. Mm-hmm. And then we got to know each other really well over the years. And
who the heck is this lady? Oh, God.
No, I had met you through Terrell at like a couple of random.
Oh, Park City.
At a couple of random.
I mean, the acoustic.
Yes, the acoustic. It was the acoustic. But
shout out
after
Terrell.
Seeing you, shout out Terrell. After seeing you perform so much, you know, you have such a real stage presence and a signature presence. Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. And I'm not just blowing smoke, by the way. Like, it's a real thing. You've got a big voice and a big presence on stage, and hearing that reflected most specifically, and I just got to play Freeway for a quick second, because this is that big epic kind of like Bruce Springsteen thing that I was telling you about before, Jeff. You know what I mean? Which I love that early thing, and I hear you right now. I'm sorry. It's my job to talk over guitar solos. You used to see the comments I get.
No,
but right here, you.
There we go through the limelight. Don't wait for the fall of the evening. Whoa, no.
Like, that's fun. And if you're listening to this, go watch it on social media too, because Milo's over here just going hard on all of it.
The song was just like, Jeff, I don't know if you remember, Sunrise on the Freeway, for a while we were like, should we put it in a different key? It was very difficult for me to sing vocally.
We moved it.
Yeah, because it sits in such, even now how we did it now, it sits like in such an in-between with my range.
Yeah.
So this song is actually a challenge for me to sing.
For those geeks, it was originally an A.
right. What's it in now?
D.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, gosh. You moved it up. Oh, to the four. Yeah, okay. That's fun. Yeah. That's fun.
Sets me free.
Which was a real brain teaser for me. Ooh. Not that it's that hard, but I'm like, but I play it a certain way.
Right.
And I was like, wow.
I know why it's a brain teaser for you, because I'm a guitar player. I'm going to be a guitar nerd now. It's because you're basing everything off of the E string, and now you've got it. Now you're suddenly.
You got it.
Oh, you guitar boys.
Shit.
That's such terrible. I know. Isn't that fucking terrible? Like, we're the worst musicians ever, guitar players in general. We're just like, I play it in this line, with this way, with these shapes. Yeah. I have to change the shape.
He's like,
I don't want to change it. You can move it up a full step. That's fine. The shapes are all the same.
It was either going to be way too low or way too high.
You're changing shapes on me.
That's not cool. It's not cool.
That's so funny.
So let's, you know, I want to go back to the beginning of this podcast when we were talking about, you know, like the introduction of Milo to the band and how that evolved. Clearly that relationship has evolved, and clearly the songwriting has evolved with it. So I mean, I guess, Jeff, you're the most appropriate person to start this response with, though, is tell me about that evolution.
You know, it's been a thrill, but it's been simple, to be honest with you, because as I said earlier, once she kind of came into the band, there was this one renewed energy, and two, this artistic you know, creativity that was being added that ultimately wasn't there before. And so when we started to say, all right, well, let's write, and I had already written a number of songs prior to us going a full original, but sliding that, whatever you want to call that intangible into the mix was totally natural. And so we just started writing together, and then everything from that point onward became, let me write for her and I and the band together, right? And so as you start to approach thinking about what you're writing and how the music's unfolding, you do it with an intentionality that you probably didn't have before, right?
Yeah.
And so now when I think about writing a song, I mean, from our previous album, a song I wrote called Joker's Wild.
Great song, by the way.
Thanks. Mm. Yeah. It's, a, you know, kind of a my ode to
my
New Orleans, you know,
yeah,
kind of vibe.
It's Milo on the piano with the cocktail dress on and like doing the whole thing.
The cigarette hanging out.
The cigarette. Right.
What's so fascinating just about that song, super quick, is when we went into the studio to record our album Northbound Train, which you can find on Spotify and Apple Music and all music platforms, including our new singles. Maria would be very proud of me for that. That's our manager. Shout out, Maria. The first day of going to the studio to record that album was, let's just run through each song so we can just see how long each one is, so we can prepare for when we really record, like, tomorrow. As you know, it's a process. At the time, we were a 7-piece band and we were recording live.
Yeah.
So when we recorded Joker's Wild, I wasn't even in the room that the rest of the band was in recording at Horizon Studios. I was standing in the front by the engineers with, like, a handheld microphone. When we did Joker's Wild, like, my eyes were closed. I was just standing in there, and I just sang it out.
Mm-hmm.
And now that take was not, you know, that wasn't, all right, we're recording this to keep. That was just a rough cut. Let's stick with it.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, we'll get to it tomorrow. They kept my first live take from the studio that day.
It's always how it works.
I finished singing. I have, because at the end of the song, it's the biggest release of any song I've ever felt. I just hold out these notes that are, not to be super cliche, but it truly is like a soulful spiritual feeling to sing out those notes that way. And so I finish the song, I have tears on my cheeks, I turn, Vic and Michael have tears on their face, and they're just like, we're keeping it.
Right.
Period.
Right. So to go back to your point, Jeff, you're writing for that now.
Totally.
That's the thing.
As I said, it's pretty easy.
That's what you're writing. You're writing, you're writing
that,
more
now
towards
now the
that.
Expectation is like, oh my Lord, we got to actually
now
write
I got to do
like-
another one. Now I got to do another one. Now I got to make people cry all over again.
Yeah, I'm not into the crying thing, but that's cool.
I've seen him cry. He does cry.
It's more about, I just want to move people, you know, if I can. I want the song to say something. I want it to be a statement. I want it to reflect actually what I'm feeling, you know. And Freeway, for instance, was honestly written about skiing. I mean,
it's great.
Yeah, it was. I live in Colorado, as you know, in the wintertime, and there's just this feeling at certain times of the day and in certain places that I've now spent many years of my life at, where I'm just like, does it get any better than this? And that's what I tried to encapsulate with that song. But at the same time, I'm like, I can't sing this song because there's a lot going on guitar-wise. So I have to write it for her. So now how do I make it more, less about skiing, because there's no real ski vocals in it.
I have never skied.
But how do I write it about the freedom that, and energy that's released just in any part of your life? And so she has a vision of driving a, you know, a cherry red Mustang down an actual freeway.
Yes.
I still see, you know, the ski slope that I wrote it about. You know what I mean? And so
that's just so cool with writing music, is each person will have a totally different meaning of what that song means to them.
Yeah.
That was not grammatically correct.
No, but like, I mean, Jeff, you wrote those lyrics, but either one of you could have written those lyrics, mm-hmm. and it could have been about two separate things.
Totally.
But it's not. It's about the same thing. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It's freedom.
It doesn't matter. It's right. It's the Mustang. It's the skiing. All the things you were talking about just now had nothing to fucking do with skiing. It had to do everything with, like,
zero.
You know, that feeling of just feeling free, that feeling of being like just out and ready, and that excitement for what comes next.
100%.
And that's the vibe.
Yep.
That's the vibe.
Yeah,
that's the vibe.
And so going forward, I mean,
and that's like, that's the vibe of what we are doing as a band right now.
I think we all mature. Right, wrong, and different. We go through our own phases of songwriting about what we want to say with our music.
Yeah.
And I think right now, you know, where my head's at, writing a really good portion of the music, for the most part. I'm in a particular phase right now. I'm listening to all sorts of cool stuff, and so I've got a bossa nova tune kind of going on in my head right now that mm-hmm. we're working on. Which, how do you make that a rock song? Well, we'll see. But I still write a lot for her.
Just distort major seven chords, man. You're good. That's all you got to do. I'm sorry. That was the nerdiest comment ever. Keep going.
Okay.
Keep going.
Keep that in mind. No, but it's a challenge. I mean, you kind of have the ingredients. It's a little bit like cooking, and it's what you're going to come up with, you know. And sometimes you're dry. I can't write a thing, as most people know. And then sometimes,
Rain. Tell them, sometimes you
rain,
can't write.
Rain,
and then, but
was,
Rain was
Rain. Rain just came out
in 5 minutes.
15 minutes.
Yeah,
15 minutes. I just wrote the chord pattern, and the words were there. Like, you know, sometimes I record everything on my phone. You know, if I have an idea and I just played the chords, and then the first thing that came to mind was that chorus, and it just started with Rain. I'm like, oh, there you go, done song. Within about an hour after that, I had all the lyrics. The song was done.
It was Jeff, there is something absolutely spiritual that comes through Jeff when he's songwriting. Like, it is such an outlet and avenue for you.
I love songwriting.
You know,
yeah, it's great.
It's
because the rest of my life is not like that. It's not as creative. You know.
Yeah.
It's all business. But now with this, it's the other side of the brain. it's really fun. I love music. I love the intentionality of writing, you know, with something in mind, and creating something that I think ultimately fits together really well. I mean, we've thrown stuff away too. But
you have to.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah,
so
there's one in my mind right now that I was like, I refuse. I will not be on stage if this song is. Yeah. But what's so cool too is, as a band, we'll get together, and JP's, I think, sister has a house in upstate New York that she Airbnbs, and all of us will go to the house, lock ourselves in from Friday to Sunday night, and write and play
the classic rocks.
God,
you know,
that's great
story.
Oh, I want to do that so badly.
So good.
Oh.
Maybe we'll go to England and get like a castle.
I hate you guys so much.
I'm down.
Oh God, I'm just not.
Let's go,
I'm just not in that phase of life right now.
We'll take you with us.
I'm like, yeah,
oh my gosh, you come. I'm always just latching on to him.
I know. No, it's the young child thing. I got to tell you, man. Just
oh my
whole,
bring him. I'll help.
Oh, but you know what? He's getting his passport this year too.
Wow.
So maybe,
that's it.
Maybe we're going to England. We're going to England. Well, so like, gigging has been different for you guys though,
totally.
Too, in the last couple of years. And I even just see it in your face, Jeff, right? Because I remember, you know, Terrapin Days was like, you know, you guys were the kings of the bar scene, especially anywhere that, like, you know, like Bryak, that had a really big dead audience that would frequent it. And then I remember in the early Red Matter days, you guys were doing it, but it was on a very, like, I remember seeing you at the Bijou. You know what I mean? It's like it's a theater thing. Did you guys do the Klein too? You guys did the Klein, didn't you, for Halloween? Yeah.
That I think was a hangover from the Terrapin days, because as I said earlier, we had graduated into performing arts centers and theaters. Like, we were regularly selling out 450, 500 person theaters with Terrapin, which was cool. Like, don't get me wrong, it was great. It was very exciting. But then we didn't, how do you step back from that? You know? So the minute we started to go Red Matter-ish, because we did it, there was a transition period of about half a year or so?
Yeah.
Where we were starting to do Red Matter songs, but we were still Terrapin, and people were a little confused, including us. And then ultimately, we were like, we got to get out of this.
We just got to do
it. That's when we changed everything. We had the winter break, come back, and now we're back into teeny, tiny little bars, you know, and playing.
We're getting there, though.
That's fine.
Because we didn't lose everybody.
Yes.
You know, because we were kind of smart in how we transitioned and still playing some Grateful Dead, but really the originals and some more covers. Mm-hmm. But
every band pads with covers. You have to. Especially with a new audience. Especially with a new audience.
All of it has to change. But now here we are. 3 years from the transition, we have a quarterly residency at the Bitter End.
Yeah.
You know, we're playing with a bunch of incredible bands this weekend
Saturday. I've actually been trying to gear the conversation towards that for the last couple of minutes.
We're playing in Deep River for their festival, July in the Saratones.
I want to talk about that because I love you guys on this bill. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now you said you know, playing at the Klein and playing at the Bijou, you know, like kind of a bit of a leftover thing from Terrapin, right? Where you've got this you know, devoted, you know, followers of dead music and everything, but you're trying to do something different. So then it's moving into playing at bars and doing stuff like that. But now you guys are with a ton of like very relevant, fun, new young bands, like, and just and doing a great show that I really, my God, I hope I can make it all the way down to.
It'll be awesome.
But and apologies to TJ if you're listening to this. I'm so sorry, buddy. I meant to interview you guys for this. But July and the Saratones is fantastic. I've had them on the show a couple of times. And what is it? Always Morning. I just started playing one of their songs recently too. Mm-hmm. Sunday nights on 95.9.
And we
Fox.
Actually did a show, a co-bill with them at Arch Street Tavern.
Oh, really?
And what's been so cool playing with these other bands is it's so inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're in a different circle now, and it's so inspiring. I will never forget. Jeff had never seen July live either, and I was just like, just wait.
Yeah.
And you were blown away.
Stayed to the last note of the last.
Yeah.
And I don't ever do that.
That band brings it.
It's so inspiring.
It was just great. It was a great show. She's amazing. The whole band is really well put together. They all contribute. The music was, I just loved every note of it. And I love music.
Yeah.
So for me, it was, I don't care. If I don't know one note of one song, it doesn't matter to me. I want to hear it. And that night was particularly good.
Yeah,
so I really enjoy
it. If it's great, if it's powerful, 100%. if it's like that, then it really is like that. And what now, Milo? You just said a second ago you're moving in a different circle now, and it's funny because we were talking earlier about sort of this you know, moving out of Connecticut, being a jam bandy kind of thing. And you look at this bill, I'll see a jam band on it. You know what I mean? You really don't, including now you guys. And I think that that's cool. And I think that that's important. You know what I mean?
It's going to be great. This Saturday is going to be awesome. We have an awesome set list and, you know, we have an hour set. So we're going to rip and it's going to be incredible. We're so excited to get in front of new faces and celebrate our amazing friends in the band in July and Saratones and celebrate their incredible album. And this is the kind of stuff that we are really excited to be doing.
Yeah.
Get in front of new faces, new people.
That's how a scene moves forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you've got to support one another. Music's not a competition.
No.
Folks. Let's you know, stay. But in many cases, people try to do that, and they get all hung up on this, well, we're better than that. No. So at the end of the day, let's go make each other better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And absolutely.
This is where that plays in. They invited us to this. Love them for that. We'll do the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've actually got a gig in October that we'll talk to them about, but I'd love to have her there. So
can you talk to me about the gig?
No. Sure.
Okay.
No. Because we might have to move the date
again. Okay, we'll talk about it.
But also, because it's an event that we are putting on. Yes. So it's not at a venue or anything.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting, too, that I found is, as a woman in the music industry,
yeah,
the competition between women, it's either we are boosting each other up or it's a battle.
Really?
And I've dealt with both. Oh, yeah. Women like July. Yeah. And in this scene, we just want to lift each other up as high as we can go without bonking our heads on the sand.
She's a ray of sunshine, man. My God.
I love her. I'm going to look into the camera for this. Yes. And we're going to use this clip.
Please do.
I love July. She's one of the most beautiful people in the world, inside and out, in every way humanly possible. Love her to death, and it's reciprocated. And we just want to help each other as much as we can. And that's so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So awesome.
That's got to be a weird experience, though. You know what I mean? Like the what is it like? What's this scene like right now, being a woman and being in the, you know, like just bands and festivals? Because, I mean, I remember it was, what, like 4 or 5 years ago, there was controversy and there was some really scary shit, some really awful shit that was coming out about, you know, a lot of different promoters. I'm thinking of one in particular. I don't think I need to say his name. Mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about. But
do,
like,
I? Hold on, let me think.
Disc Jam?
I never went.
Never mind.
Oh, but, I know.
Yep. But yeah, like, so, I mean, what's that? Has that environment, like, gotten any easier, any worse?
I mean, it really is so situational, right? Because, you know, what this person offers me a gig, what's the real intention? What's the intention? Is it because I'm really talented, I can show up and do a good job? Or is there, like, an underlying, like, what do you want from me from it? You know what I mean? It's really just all being a woman in this industry is about finding people you can truly, truly, truly trust. But you know what? When you're trying to do that, you're going to think you trust somebody and then you realize maybe you shouldn't have. So it's all about building your core support group to really navigate it all. And I mean, the guys, my Red Matter fathers, they protect me. There's so many shows where I might be being cornered a little bit too much by someone trying to talk to me after the show. And Jeff will come in and say, hey, man, did you enjoy the show? And then JP comes here and swoops and then I'm leaving.
Yeah.
It's just, you truly, with anything, you never know people's real intentions. And I'm the kind of person that maybe I trust too much at first, right?
Sure.
I like to love everybody and until I shouldn't. You know what I mean? But you just have to find people that you really trust. And that might even continue to change. I think a lot of women are, I think it's a lot better now in the sense that we're getting more opportunities, but it's still not, you know, could be more of those.
Yeah.
But I think there has been a little bit of a turning point where people want to see more women up there, you know, and they, because we kill it.
Yeah. Very true. That's right. You know? That's good. There you go.
And I think the competition between bands and between women trying to do the same thing is such a waste of time, energy, and connection. Because all of that, you could be boosting each other up, which opens up more doors for everybody, which opens up more doors for more connection with all these people and inspiration. And, you know, there's plenty more work to do.
And, if you really want to take the scene, back to our original point, to really the where Seattle got, you know, that, you've got to be committed, I think, you've got to be committed to making sure that people graduate to that level, right? And you're not going to do that by slicing their knees off at every situation. So, you know, there's always an opportunity to launch another Eggy or another Goose or another Red Matter, you know, for that matter. And that's where we'd like to be. And ultimately, it takes work, but it takes support from the whole.
You have to have support.
The whole industry,
Jeff needs support just as I do as, like, a woman in this industry, you know, because there are incredible people out here that are ready to do that, to launch and to support and to facilitate. You just have to have the right team and right group around you to find it.
Yeah.
And just follow through with it. Because you can be given the most perfect, wonderful opportunity. But if some pieces are missing for you or your team, it's not going to pan out well. Mm. That's why I personally feel really lucky that right now, Red Matter, we have an incredible team that's working behind the scenes, opening up amazing doors, helping us kind of figure out, you know, we'll bounce ideas off.
And some new people, too.
Some
right?
new people, yeah. too. Absolutely. And
you want to talk about the sort of evolution of the band now? Because it's been.
I want to talk to you, baby. You talk to me about whatever you'd like to.
No, I think she's right. I think this team we've put around us, I'll call it a support system,
Can we name names?
Can we name names?
I mean, Maria said if he asked, we could, and if you brought it up, we could.
I'm asking.
All right. Well, we have Greg Knight on our team.
Greg Knight, the phenomenal Greg Knight.
The phenomenal Greg Knight, who I'm not only lucky to call a friend.
Yes.
But good. He is unstoppable.
He's a force of nature. He really is. Yeah,
I don't know how he does it. And, you know, Greg doesn't have to work with us. Like, Greg doesn't have to work with anybody. His roster is so high, he will not work with anybody he doesn't believe in. And he believes in us.
Yeah.
And he is facilitating so many connections for us, bookings, but just wisdom.
Yeah.
Wisdom. He understands PR in the music business more than any of us.
Well, Greg Knight is one of the smartest people that I've met on this scene. And there's a reason for his success. I've interviewed the guy before. I literally call him the most influential man in the Connecticut music scene. And I believe that. That dude brought a PR sensibility to bands and to marketing bands, and actually made it relevant and made it real and made it not just that extra dude who lives in the house with the band who wants a job. You know what I'm saying? Like he took it to such a smart thing. The part of the reason for we talked about Goose a couple of times, but now Eggy too and all of those guys. Part of the reason for those band successes is that they were able to build a community around the band, a community where everyone has the little inside jokes on Facebook that they share, where everyone's got, like, you know, the kind of same stuff, that wearing the silly
Green
Peter
Eggs
mustache.
Fam.
Yeah, right. Green Eggs and Fam for Eggy. Stuff like that is so important. And I can't sit here and say that he invented it, but goddamn it, he brought it to Connecticut.
He brought it here at least. Yeah, and he's been working very closely with our incredible manager, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's them, and we have Michael Kaplan, who's working on some really big, exciting stuff for us right now as well. And then we're working with In Kind Music. That are helping us with our...
Everything from sort of, you know, launching all the digital assets and sort of the, you know, the library of tunes into the world side of the business. So, you know, digital distribution, as well as connecting us with the right social media teams and things like that, because it's an operation, as you know. This is not it's not the easiest thing to do, and no one person can do it.
No.
And if you really have your sights set on something more, you know, substantial, you have to surround yourselves with a professional team. And that's sort of what we're doing. So In Kind, and then, you know, on the band front, like every other major band, I think there's been a lot of changes.
Comings and goings,
but which is absolutely okay. And we've taken it. We have a lot of personnel changes. We're trying out some people here and there. There's some really exciting stuff that I know we're not supposed to talk about yet and name names.
Ooh.
But,
well, yeah, we haven't made any decisions yet.
We haven't made any decisions. Maria said not to name.
So here's where we're at.
But what it is it's exciting.
Yeah, okay. Like I look at it as a new adventure. Like we talked about this very early on. Who are we?
Yeah.
Actually, that question we've asked Greg too. Like, help us figure out exactly who we are and where we belong, right? We think we know, right? But you have other views, or other people have other views. Let's codify that.
And there's no ego. Like with Jeff, with any of us, there's no ego. We are aware that there are, well, I was going to say maybe, but there are people out there that know better than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not afraid to hear, you're doing this wrong or this and that.
I mean, about any element of any business, there's always going to be someone who knows more than you do. You got to know the right people.
Yeah. Again, there's not.
Leave the feelings out of it.
Exactly. Feelings are great, but not for this kind of stuff. And I think at the end of the day, the whole process is not easy, right? And so there have been victims of that process, right? So my former co-founder, Paul, who's one of the most near and dear people to my heart and will always be, musically, like he's my brother, right? We started a journey together that ended up where we are today. You know, he has some things in his life that he's chosen he wants to now do. And I love him for that, right?
Yeah.
He wants to go and spend time, you know, at where he is in his life stage, doing some other things that don't involve music, right? And he got a huge promotion at his
huge promotion.
That's great.
And so he that takes him all over the world, and he wants to be, you know, traveling and all those other things. That's great. Like, that opens up a hole. You could go down that rabbit hole where it's like, oh my God,
this is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We didn't. We said, no, this is a huge opportunity for us to redefine the music, because Paul is an enormous guitar player.
Yeah.
But he had a sound. Like, and that sound sort of defined us when we were Grateful Dead sound. And now we have an opportunity to redefine us as Red Matter in a way that we think is going to be our future. And so we're trying out new and very interesting guitar players. We've played with a couple already, and we're really, really enjoying
that. We're playing on Saturday with a new guitar player.
Yeah. And then...
And you can't say his name?
I don't know. No, I guess not. So, but... At the end of the day, there's a plethora of really good players in the market. He is one of them.
And he's the nicest human being on the planet.
And
she mouthed the name to me.
Yeah.
And now I know who it is. So, and he is all of those things you said.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
But this is a journey. By the end of the year, we'll figure out. Actually, it doesn't even come less about the person.
Yeah.
It's more about what is the lineup, meaning Do we want a second guitar player?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want a keyboard player? You know, our keyboard player unfortunately had some health issues that required him to take a very extended leave of absence.
Sure.
And so, you know, that's
or horns. We want horns,
right? What is
how
it
exciting
that,
is
Jeff,
it though?
You felt very strongly about those horns.
So ideally, we'd bring in somebody who could be multi-instrumentalist, right?
Yes.
That would be kind of cool.
We want Matt Camp. Yeah. Matt Camp's too booked and busy. We want
everybody
to
wants
him.
Matt Camp.
I know.
I want Matt Camp.
I know.
Right. I want Matt Camp.
So yes, anyway, no, I love that's where we're at, and I think that's but the core, me, JP, Milo, you know, Rick, the whole bit. Yeah. We've had a
and
lot
Aaron,
of
Aaron,
and Aaron, who's, you know. What a percussionist, right?
Yeah.
And brings such an energy, not just to the music, but also he's a savior for us when it comes to logistics and getting the gigs on, you know, on the time schedule and what we have to do and how we have to do it. He really runs, you know, front lines everything. So we're changing our sound package, and we've now gone, not to get into the weeds too much, but we've gone to a completely 0 dB stage, which is a whole nother, like, That's a mission that took a while, but it's interesting, you know. So now we have no monitors on stage, unless it's required, because
sure.
But I don't have an amp on stage. I haven't used an amp in a
so
year
different.
And a half. So it's really weird. It's a whole.
I've struggled with that transition going into in ears as a singer. It's really.
But it's not just in ears. It's the sense of movement on the stage.
Yep.
I was gonna say I'm a
traditionalist.
You could call me an audio professional. Mm-hmm. You could say that is my. I don't know quite what you mean yet. How are you pulling this off? Wait, 0 dB stage?
Yeah. So other than the drums, of course.
Okay. Right. Okay. Because I was just like, wait.
No.
How?
The stage is
He's
quiet.
Playing an electric
how?
Kit.
I know JP's not playing an electric
no.
kit. I know that's not happening.
No, but if you were standing on stage with us,
yeah,
you'd
hear only
nothing
hear drums.
But percussion and drums.
That's
and vocals.
Wild.
Yeah.
And it's actually really cool because at rehearsal, sometimes I'll just take out my in-ears and I just hear this, like, these, you know, Aaron and JP.
It's like when you take the headphones off at the silent disco at like 2 o'clock
it's,
in the morning.
Exactly.
And you're just like, yo,
like
whoa, this
everybody's
is weird.
Really off tune.
Cracks me up.
But yeah, I use a modeler,
yeah.
Which has been great. Hard to get used to, but now I'm getting used to it. It's really, really cool. And been playing with some cool gadgetry.
Yeah, man.
And the bass player, similarly, he's going direct box in. Obviously, when we have keyboards, direct box in. We haven't had a second guitar, so when the new guitarist plays with us, we'll figure out what that's going to look like. But it's been great. So all of that is a huge transition, and we're unbelievably excited about it because now we can build what we want. You know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so much great stuff happening for you guys. We talked for a fucking hour. I didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think that was going to happen, but I love it. I want to quickly let you guys, you know, shout out, you know, upcoming shows and stuff like that. But I mean, this has just been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah,
I've just had so much fun, man.
We love you. You
so,
know that.
I love you guys too.
Lucky to call you a friend.
Yeah, very. I feel lucky.
I love breaking music here. That's the other thing.
That's a lot of fun. And we're gonna be doing that this Sunday on 95.9 The Fox. If you're listening on that station, if that's in your signal, you can hear Freeway and Rain, both new singles from Red Matter. And yeah. Anyway, you guys are playing this Saturday with at High Nine Brewing with July and the Serotones and a whole bunch of other amazing artists.
Celebrating their album release.
Mm-hmm. Which I love. You guys are going to be at Reverie Brewing in Newtown, which is, I actually just went there for the first time.
It's
that place is awesome.
Amazing.
That place is very awesome.
And they're
it's
the
so
nicest
awesome.
People, too.
Continuing your residency of the Bitter End in the city.
16th, I think.
Yeah.
I think we're 7 to 9, everybody, because we were just told that. Because usually we're like the 8 o'clock show, but for some reason we're 7 to 9 this time.
We usually do a 90-minute set, so they wanted to give us an extra half hour. So.
Ooh.
Because we kill it. Because
you guys are worth it.
Shout out to Paul at the Bitter
End. And I'm bringing a guitar player there. Is a really, really great player.
Okay.
This guy named Cooper Carter, who he is the fractal guy. Fractal's my modeler.
Okay.
He is one of the top players in the world. He sets up Neil Sean's stuff. He does.
No way.
He just did all of Taylor Swift's tour because they're using fractals.
Oh,
across
shit.
This guy's, and he's a monster player.
Oh, God.
He literally just played Red Rocks with Britt Floyd and did some work with them and played on a couple tunes.
Guys
so.
Have Eras Tour tech coming in.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Damn. Jesus.
A lot of really open.
Wait for the explosions.
That's what I'm saying. I want pyrotechnics.
We just we're in this phase where all the doors are open, ultimately, in the sense that we have the connections, we have the team, and we have the talent to really just do what feels right for us and to define us as something. Mm-hmm. That just feels the most authentic and true to who we are that we think people will love the most.
Well, I'm just happy as hell for you guys for what you've been able to like turn this whole thing into. And I'm excited to see you at Black Rock Porch Fest too. I do want to mention
100%.
That show as well. So if you haven't seen Red Matter, you don't live in any of those areas, you could check them out, Black Rock Porch Fest, completely for free. This has been fantastic.
It's
Thanks,
been
man.
So lovely.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very
we
much.
We love you.
Red Matter, check them out. New singles are streaming now, Freeway and Rain, and you can check out their album, Northbound Train, which has been up for a couple of years. New album coming soon, or are we not ready to talk about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, that's the plan.
Keeping it on the down low.
Okay. The plan is content generation this fall.
Okay.
I'm talking to some pretty interesting people about potentially producing it. I can't talk about who, but yeah. And
I feel so cool that we have to keep saying we can't talk about that yet.
You guys love it.
I love
this
it.
Stuff's done.
So good.
And then the goal is to have it done by, late part of the year so that we can release it early next year.
So a tentative early 2025 on a new one. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you guys again. It's 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, and Red Matter. Thanks, y'all.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Appreciate it.